Grace and peace to all of you today. Before we started our service, a group of us were together chatting, and I just heard about the significant snowfall in Colorado and how it came out of nowhere, and they've accumulated over 30 inches of snow, and the roads are closed, and the passes are closed. And it dawned on me, how ironic. Today, this is the same day back in 1940 that a momentous storm hit here. This is strange. It started off like a duck hunter's dreams because the people were getting up and it was just like today. It was kind of warm, shirt sleeve weather, light jacket. Duck hunters were getting out their boats, getting out their guns and racing to the waterways and the lakes. And the sky was filled with ducks. And no one ever stopped and said, I wonder what's going on here? Why all this activity? Well, what the birds knew that the people didn't know is that a ferocious storm was barreling down out of Canada into the states. Nebraska, Missouri, northern Missouri caught the brunt of it. The cold came so quickly that it dropped 30 degrees in less than 2 hours, and that preceded the snow and the wind, and it was horrific. And by the time it was all over, 140 people had perished. They weren't prepared. It came out of nowhere. Today, exactly like this. But it was unsuspected. But isn't that how much of our life is? We totally don't expect things, and then we're shocked. And so that kind of leads me into these stories that I mentioned before we started. Bob read The Widow of Zarephath. And in the Old Testament, in 1 Kings, the story is about Elijah. And Elijah had some real trouble. He had trouble with King Ahab and his wife, Jezebel. Well, why do you have trouble? Well, he ridiculed them. He made fun of them. He made fun of their god, Baal. He accused all the citizens of idolatry. And in return, King Ahab wanted to kill him, simply. God sent him to save him. God sent him to a remote desert village of Zarephath to meet a woman. Now, when Elijah made contact with this poor woman, she was outside the city walls gathering sticks. He asked her for a drink of water. And she gave it to him. But then Elijah had the unmitigated gall to ask this broken, poor woman for a piece of bread in the middle of a devastating drought. How could he do this? And she pleads back to him and says, all I have is a little barley meal and a little bit of oil. And what I wanted to do is go cook this for my son and I so that we might die. Elijah wouldn't hear of it. He told her to do as he had said and that God will provide. Now, ironically, and this is the key to this story, she believed him. She gave it all. She gave it all to a stranger because of his trust in God. Not hers yet, his. She gave it all. And I think it's important as a subnote to this story that we should still today care for our widows, because that's how we reflect our love for God. That's my first story. My second story, the widow's mite. Now, Jesus one day was sitting in the temple, and he was sitting in the area they call the court of the women. And this court had 12, 13 bronze trumpets, big trumpets made out of metal on the wall, and that's where you put your money in. And they were all marked for certain occasions. Some were marked for doves, sacrificial doves. Some was marked for frankincense. One was for temple dues. But six of the 13 were dedicated to free will offerings. Now the scribes, with the big robes, they would go take their money in. They would cash their money in with the treasurer, and they would receive the maximum number of coins for their gift. Now, why did they do that? Here's why. They wanted to walk into the temple, and they wanted to pour all of their coins down these trumpets to make the loudest noise so that everybody would turn around and say, "Oh my gosh, who gave all that money?" Oh, it's the scribes, of course. And nowadays, we use that terminology, and we call that sounding your own trumpet or blowing your own horn. That's where that analogy came from. Now, the widow, she arrives and she deposits two coins. And these coins are very small. In fact, back then they were as thin as a wafer. And they weren't called that. They were called lepta, L-E-P-T-A, lepta. And then the Old English took that terminology and they changed it to what we call mites now. So hence you get the story. And it had the value. It wasn't a penny. It was maybe a tenth of a penny. And then Jesus watches her, and then he says, "Come here, guys. Come here. I want you to see something here." He says, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of the other people here. For they contributed from their abundance, but she out of her poverty." She put it all she had to live on. And I want to stop in that little story with that little sentence for reflection. She put in all she had. Now, here's the point. We can be really impressed, I guess, by what we give. Jesus doesn't care about that. He doesn't care. What he cares about is how much you're keeping back. Wow. It's not what you give, it's what's left over in your life that matters to him. If you look closely at Jesus' comments here, it had nothing to do with the amount she gave. It had to do everything with what she had left, which was nothing. Whenever you give to God, he is interested in what it reveals about your heart. whenever you give, whatever you give, wherever you give, you're making a statement directly to God. Reflect on this one point. This poor woman not only gave her finances, but she gave everything she had for the future. She placed her future squarely in the hands of God. And I get it. I know what you're saying right now as you sit there. You're saying, oh, dummies. I mean, what in the flying snipes is the point of this? Why are you telling us this story? Let me tell you my secret story, my third story that kind of ties in. It's not in the fancy pericope, whatever you want to call it, but it's about, if you recall, the rich young man out of the book of Matthew. There was a young man who asked Jesus, what must I do to be saved? I want to gain eternal life. And Jesus advised the man, why don't you obey the Ten Commandments? And the guy responds, yeah, I did. I've done that. I'm good. What else? Jesus then hit him. If you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then what I want you to do is come and follow me. And as Luke tells, when he heard this, he became very sad because he had a lot of money. Hence the words you hear often, the road to heaven is very narrow. It was too narrow for him. Matthew writes in chapter 7, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate. Small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life everlasting. And then these closing words in the Bible, and only a few find it. Now, kind of as an aside for you history buffs, 40 years later, the Roman Empire comes into Jerusalem under General Titus, destroys Jerusalem and kills the people. I can't imagine what the young man thought about his decision then. I don't know. So those are our three stories. I hope you can remember them from today. And I want to close with this. In the mid-1800s, there was an English woman by the name of Frances Havergal, who was a poet, who, like some, maybe us, struggled with her commitment to the Lord. There were areas of her life that she just couldn't give it up to the Lord. And one day she confessed and wrote, I realize there must be a full surrender before there could be full satisfaction. Ironically, in 1874, she wrote a little hymn, which she called the Hymn of Consecration. And maybe you can recognize this. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. God bless each of you here today. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding keep your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Amen.